pastor a great church in La Crosse, and we've been privileged to know them for a number of years. Brother Parker, his background, 28 years, was a command sergeant major in the Army. You don't get a higher rank than that in enlistment. And then brother and sister Parker were missionaries to Asia and Japan for military for a number of years. I remember we went to Korea and did a minister's conference, and there was a guy in there that was just excited about God. And he was somebody that Brother Parker had witnessed to and taught and baptized and was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was out of the military, and he was just so excited about God. And, you know, you look back at the years of ministry and you wonder how much you've really accomplished. We'll never know. We'll never know. But I am excited to have Brother and Sister Parker with us today. And I know he's got a word for each and every one of us. Jesus said it this way: if you have ears, hear what the word of God says to you, because his word will not return unto you void. And so will you welcome Brother Parker to this pulpit. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord. It's so good to be with your dear pastor and pastor's wife. I really appreciate Brother and Sister Schumacher. Amen. They are indeed true Christians. Amen. If you're looking for an example for Christians, God has given you an example of your pastor and your pastor's wife. And also Brother and Sister Portman as well. Amen. It is so good to be here. I love what I feel here this morning. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. And you can take that to the bank and you can deposit it and you can get dividends. Amen. From that. Because the word of God is quick. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividers of soul and spirit, and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of your heart. Amen. Praise God. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Amen. And Paul would put it this way: I have not seen, an ear have not heard, and neither have it entered into the hearts of men, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So what are you missing? What are you missing? Paul says in Romans 15:4 that the things which was written afore was written for our learnings, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture would find hope. So inside of this book is everything that you need. I told the church, I says, this is like an owner's manual in your car. See, most people spend a lot of money to have their car worked on, when if they would just take the owner's manual out and look at it, they can troubleshoot and find out what is wrong with the blinker and change the light bulb for 29 cents and save themselves a lot of money. Was the same way with our lives. God knew that we will encounter different things in our lives. And so he says, well, let me give them a book so they can look at it and search it and find out what the problem is and fix it themselves. Because the face in the mirror is always the solution to the problem. Amen. Again, it's so good. Amen. You can be seated. I want my wife to come and greet you this morning. Amen. It's always good. She will tell you I'm her first convert.
He leaves out the part that I'm still working on, the discipleship part. Good morning. What a beautiful presence of the Lord is here this morning. Somehow I don't doubt that that's always the experience that you have here. We get what we expect for. What we expect, what we come looking for is normally what we find. So if we come with a spirit of expectation and anticipation, then that's what we get. Lisa, that's what I find in my life, and that's what I tell my children. And that's what we get. So if you come anticipating and expecting, then that's what you get. I like that his house shall be called a house of prayer. When you start off with prayer, then you will expect, because we anticipate. I would be remiss if I did not start off with my ladies' secretary hat on and thank this wonderful church for your mother's memorial giving that reaches around the world. Once again, you placed in the top 20 in the nation, and that's right. You can do that. Bless your heart back there going like this. Thank you so much for every cookie that was baked, every home door that was opened to welcome someone in for a dinner. I sat last night and listened to some of the great ideas that you have and kind of put that in the back of my mind for another idea that we can start in 2019 for the entire district, and I'm going to present that. But thank you so much for your sacrificial giving to Mother's Memorial. It affects lives around the world. I don't need to tell you that. You already know that. And I thank you from the depths of my heart. Having been a missionary, you helped to buy my stove that baked cookies and pies and turkeys for military members away from home. And I thank you for that. You helped to buy a dryer that dried my personal clothing. And I thank you for that. I thank you for your sacrificial giving. And thank you so much. And now is not the time to slack back. As your pastor said, the more you give, it's like the seed that's planted in the field of the farmer. The more they plant, the more they can expect to reap. So the more you give, the more you give God to work with, the more he can bless you. That's not a plug. It's just a fact. You want to be blessed? Then give God something to work with. But I'm not up here to give a plug for more giving. I'm just up here to thank you with my ladies' ministries hat on. To thank you so much for your sacrificial giving to Mother's Memorial. Kudos to this wonderful church and to the leadership that sets the example in giving. Thank you so much. God has been dealing with me, and I don't want to take up the minister's time for ministering, but he's been dealing with me recently on a scripture in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, and we really like that part. God is my refuge. God is my refuge. I paraphrase a lot of scriptures, so sorry if that goes against your personal doctrine, but your pastor can clean it up later. God is my refuge, and he's my strength. He's my very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear, though the earth is being removed and things are being shaken, folks. If you don't know that, buckle up, because it is. And though mountains are being carried away into the midst of the sea, I'm glad I don't live in California, because they've got fires right now, and when the earthquakes come and the tsunamis come, it probably will. Their mountains will be taken away too. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof, Selah. We're in a time when we don't Selah much. We just hurry right on. Our devotion times, we just hurry right on. We don't Selah, or Salah, or however you like to pronounce it. Stop, pause, think about what you read. Take a deep breath, slow down, zip it. I'm a blunt person. I'm Norwegian. I'm very blunt. I'm straightforward. That's how God deals with me. Be quiet, Pam. Sit down. Get your cup of coffee and Selah. Stop and think about it a minute or an hour. Just sit here and have a cup of coffee with me a minute. There is a river, the streams thereof, whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles. And you can read that again in Psalm 46 yourself. Come, and then there again in verse 7, it ends with Selah. In just those short 4 through 7, and then he says again, Selah, stop a minute. Take a deep breath. Pause. Sit still and drink another cup of coffee. Let's have a minute together. You and me in this relationship. I want you to think a minute. And then verse 8 starts, come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he have made in the earth. He makes wars to cease. Who else can stop a war? Amen. He breaks the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots. Be still. Now, if you didn't get it from the Selahs, I'm going to make it really blunt with you. See, I think that God is Norwegian too. He likes coffee and he's blunt. You don't get much more blunt. Shall the man rob God? Sorry, Pastor. Oops. Oops. I'm not the pastor. Be still and know that I am God. We're only going to know that he's God when we slow down and have our Selah moments. I'm not going to know that he's God when I'm busy, when I'm rushing hither and yon, and when I'm giving him my laundry list of to do it how I want it done. My prayer time is not the time for me to give him my laundry list and then get up and rush out the door to work. There's a time for that. He knows my heart. I do tell him all the things that I want him to do and need him to do and think he should do. I really don't because I don't pray that way. But anyway, that's between me and him. But be still and know that I am God. The enemy has duped us, folks. 99.9% of the people that I talk to, when I say to them, hi, how are you doing? I'm just so busy. Back in the year 2000, after deputation in 2001, when we came back to America, my husband and I realized that that is one of the worst four-letter words in the English vocabulary. And it became a quarter word in our home. A quarter word is worse than the worst four-letter words. In our home, our children had to pay a quarter for the bad words. And that became a taboo word in our vocabulary. We are not allowed to be busy. We can be productive, but we cannot be busy because busy people are not productive people. We have found. They don't have time for what's important. Be still and know that I am God. It was so beautiful in here this morning. Thank you. I don't know the brother's name, but thank you for ushering in the presence of God where we could be still and know that he is God. Take time every day as you drive to where other people are going to be busy. And watch the snow fall. And look at the majesty of your God. Only he can recreate the snowflakes. Look at the icicles on the tree in the morning. Only your God can recreate that. Look at the sun. As I was over here praying this morning, first it was dark, and then a glimmer of light came through as I was saying, God, you are the light of my life. A beam of light shone through the window. Only my God has perfect timing. And that scripture came to my mind again, be still. If I had been busy rushing about greeting people, which would have been okay, because it's the right thing to be doing. But be still, he had told me. So I was being still, and he beamed that light in. I will never forget that moment. We can miss our moments, our Selah moments. Take your Selah moments. Enjoy a cup of coffee, a glass of water, a big gulp, or whatever your choice is. And enjoy your Selah moments with the love of your life. Be still and know that he is God. Those moments will live on forever in your spirit. And you'll grow closer and closer and closer. And it will strengthen you that he will become the strength of your life. So that when the troubles come and the mountains are moved and the earth is shaken, you will not be shaken. God bless you. Thank you for making us so welcome.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to John chapter number 2, verses 1 through verse 7. Again, we thank you for the opportunity to be with you. John chapter 2, starting with verse 1. And the third day, there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto them, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there are six water pots of stones, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three frankincense apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. And I would like to speak to you this morning from this thought, just do it. Just do it. Father, we exalt you again this morning. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay with us this morning, oh God. I pray, God, that you would give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding, oh Lord. Let none of us leave the way that we came through these doors this morning, Father, but let us leave changed, let us leave renewed, let us leave refreshed in the power of your Spirit and anointing, God, and we will give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Just do it. Most of the times we hear this phrase, just do it, we usually think of Nike as that is their motto, but I'm not here today to talk to you about Nike. I'm here today to talk to you about us. Amen. Because what I have found is oftentimes when God speaks to us through his words, we do not do what his word tells us to do. We always seem to try to logicalize his word to try to get it to fit the way that we want it to fit, not realizing that scripture tell us that God's ways is not our ways and neither is his thoughts our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts than our thoughts. And so therefore we must come to the realization that we start taking God's word at face value and doing what he says for us to do. And this is one of the reasons we must walk by faith and not by sight, because we're never going to figure out God's word until he brings the revelation of truth to us. And once he brings the revelation of truth to us, then it is time for a transformation to begin to take place in our lives. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 11:33, oh, the depths and the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how uncertain
unsearchable of his judgments and his ways past finding out. It's going to be hard for you and I in our natural mind to understand why God does the things that he does. His ways is not our ways, and his thoughts is not our thoughts. Even the children of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, they was trying to find out, what is the reason for us being 40 years in the wilderness? Why does God have us walking around out here in this wilderness for 40 years? And when Moses began to reason with them and to bring them the knowledge and to bring them the understanding, he gives them five reasons while they were in the wilderness. Number one, he says, God has brought you here to humble you. Sometimes we have pride in our hearts and we're on a pedestal that God needs to bring us down a little bit to where we can see what God is trying to do in our lives. The second reason he tells him is that God wants to prove you. Sometimes we tell God, God, if you deliver me from this, if you do this for me, God, I'm going to do this as well. And so God has to prove us sometime to see if we're going to do what he said, we said we were going to do. He also said the third reason was God wanted to see what was in your heart. You see, the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So God wanted to see what was in their hearts. The fourth reason he told them that they were in the wilderness is to teach them that man must live by the word of God and not by bread alone. You see, every word of God we must do because it's God's ways and his understanding, and God has our best interests at heart. And the fifth reason he tells them is, as God chastened his children, so he will chasten us. Amen. So we need to realize that God's ways are not our ways, and neither is his thoughts our thoughts. And this is why Solomon tells us the trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You see, the foolish things of the world is confounded. God is used to confound the wise, and the mighty things, the weak things, to confound those that are mighty. Amen. God's ways are not your ways. So stop trying to figure it out and just do what his word says. James says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We must get to the point when we read God's word, when God's word ushers us and God's word tells us to do something, we just do it. I know it doesn't pass the common sense test, but you're going to have to do it. We walk by faith and not by sight. When God met Moses at the burning bush and he says to Moses, I'm going to use you to deliver the children of Israel out of bondage. What did Moses say? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and say, amen, let your people go. I can't even speak well. And God said to Moses, who made man's mouth? God wanted Moses to understand. Don't look at it from a logical standpoint, Moses. Don't look at you going to do it. I'm going with you, Moses. I will be right there with you. All you've got to do is do what I tell you to do, and it's going to happen the way that I want it to happen. And so when Moses goes, amen, he gets there, and you know the story. You've heard the story, how Moses was still apprehensive about doing what God wanted him to do. And so God asked him what he has in his hand, and he said, a rod. And God says, cast it on the ground. He casts it on the ground, and it becomes a serpent. And God says, take it by the tail. He take it by the tail, it becomes a staff again. He says, take your hand and place it in your bosom. He put it in. He pulls it out, and it's leprous. And God says, put it back in again. He put it in, and he pulls it back out, and it's back natural again. God was trying to show Moses, look, it's not your way. It's not your way of understanding. It's my way. You have to realize that God God's ways are not your ways. And so when God says do something, you just have to do it. I don't understand how throwing ashes in the sky brings about lice, but God does. He knows what he desires to use. He knows the way he's going to deliver. He just says, you do what I tell you to do. When he brought the children of Israel out, and the Pharaoh was behind them, and they was coming to the Red Sea, and they saw the waters, in their natural mind, they was thinking, we're going to die. We're going to sit here, and we're going to die. If we go into the river, we're going to die. If we stand here, the enemy behind us is going to kill us. So what did God say? Go forth. It doesn't pass the common sense test. Go forth. They are thinking, if we go forth, the water is there. But as soon as they decide to do what God said to do, the water parted, amen, and they walked across on dry ground. I come to tell you today, when you hear the voice of God, and he says, go forward, you've got to go forward. It is not the time for you to stand there and reason and try to figure it out. How many times have you been to church and you've heard the smell fall? Small voice of God says, go forth, go up for prayer, go up and talk to the pastor, go up and worship me, but you stay where you are and you go out the same way you went in, amen, and nothing changed. But I've come to tell you today, if you will go forth when God says go forth, it's going to make a difference. Just do it. It's not going to pass the common sense test, but just do it, because I know the thoughts I think towards you to give you an expected end. God knows why you came this morning. He knows for what reason that you are here this morning. So when God speaks to you, do it. Praise God. Joshua was told to walk around the walls of Jericho 7 times, one time every day for 6 days, and on the 7th day, walk around 7 times, and on the 7th time, after there was the shout, and the walls would fall down. I'm sure those soldiers walking around that building did not think it was going to happen the way that they was thinking in their mind, to walk around 7 times, amen, and then on the 7th day, do it 7 times. And then shout, it doesn't make sense for them to do it. But God knew what he was going to do. Amen. He already knew how he was going to make it happen. And so when they did what God told them to do, the walls fell down just like God says it will fall down. I don't understand when the Spirit of God tells you to take a victory lap around the church. What it's going to do. I don't know how God works when he says clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. I don't understand it all. I don't understand when God tells you to leap. I don't understand when God tells you to jump. Just do it. Amen. Brother Schumacher, I don't understand why God says give tithes. But it works. It works every time. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, God says, and prove me now if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will have not room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your name's sake. Just do it, amen, and watch and see what God will do. It's not going to pass the common sense test. It's not going to make sense when you think naturally, but if you walk by faith and not by sight, if you will be a doer of God's word and not a hearer's only, he will open up the windows of heaven. I am a testimony of what God can do when you give and do what he asked of you to do. Praise God. Elijah was fed by a raven, amen, by a brook, amen. The birds brought him his food every day. Who would ever thought? And he drank from the stream of water day by day. And once it dried up, God told him, he says, I had prepared a woman at Zareph for you. Go to the town of Zareph, and there will be a woman, and she'll take care of you. And he's coming into the town. He sees the woman, and he says to her, give me a drink of water. And she says that she's going to get the water. And he says, oh, by the way, bring me a cake of meal. She says, not so. She says, all I have is a handful of meal, and I'm gathering two sticks, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to go in, and I'm going to prepare it for me and my son, and we're going to eat it, and we're going to die. And Elijah says to her, do as you said, but give to me first. For God said, the barrel of meal shall not waste, and neither shall the cruse of oil fail until I send rain upon the earth. I know your money doesn't look like it's going to last, but give to God first and watch and see what God will do. Just do what his word tells you to do and let him worry about the other. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. Just do it. Naaman the Syrian was a leprous man. But God worked great wonders by Naaman, the Bible says. And Naaman was a leper. And so when the young maid says, if my master was in Samaria, God would heal him. So when the king heard it, he sent Naaman, amen. And so when the king got the letter, he says, am I God? And so when Elisha heard it, amen, he says, send him to me. And when he came to Elijah, Elijah said to him, go dip seven times in the Jordan River and you shall be made whole. Naaman got upset, amen, and he started to walk away. And he said, are not the rivers in Samaria better, amen, Syria better than the waters here, amen. But notice, he was not doing what the word of God says. The man of God says, go dip seven times in the Jordan River. He didn't care if he dipped or not. He just told him what God says. Amen. And as Naaman is leaving, one of his servants went to him and says, my master, if he would have told you to do some great thing, you'd have done it. How much more to go and dip seven times in the Jordan River? And when Naaman listened and he went and he baptized himself, he dipped seven times in the Jordan River. Amen. His flesh became as a little baby. He was made completely whole. Amen. Why? Because he did what God had told him to do. I come to tell you today, when you need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, it may not make sense to you. Just do what God has said to you to do. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and he shall recover. I don't know how baptism saves us. All I know is I have to do it. All I know, God's word says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, just do it. I would hate to get to heaven and think I'm saved and realize that I'm not saved. Just do it. How many of you are tired? Nobody's tired. Praise God. Notice what Scripture says. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and of heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. You see, we just have to do what God says to do. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So when God says, come to me, you have to come to him. You should come running to God when you're going through things in your life. You should summons quickly to the Lord. Amen. If you're tired, you should come. If you're restless, you should come. You should run, amen, to get a hold of God, because his ways is not our ways. As Isaiah says, as the snow and the rain comes down from heaven and watereth the earth and return not thither, but maketh it bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goeth forth out of my mouth. It should accomplish that which for I sent it and please it, and it shall prosper whereunto I sent it. You see, God's word will work. He'll do exactly what he said he was going to do. God cannot lie. When God speaks, he has to do what he said he's going to do. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Just do what God says to do. Praise God. And there's a wedding in Canaan of Galilee, and Jesus and his disciples are called to the marriage. And when they had no wine, Mary said to them, they have no wine. Jesus says, what have I to do with you? My hour is not yet come. Notice what the mother says. Whatsoever he said to you, do, do it. Whatsoever he says to you, do, do it. And there are 6 water pots there, about 2 to 3 frankens apiece. A franken is about 9 gallons. So if that would be the case, and there are 6 of them there, that means each one of them would hold about 27 gallons of water. And as a result, amen, at 6 at 27, that would be somewhere like 162 gallons. Jesus did not intend for them to run out of wine anymore. And notice what they did when he gave them the command. He says, fill them with water. And the Bible says they filled them to the brim. In other words, I bet they was running over. They filled them to the top. They did what he told them to do. And then he told them to draw it out and give to the governor of the feast. And the governor called the bridegroom and says, every man gives the good wine first and then save the worst for last. But you have saved the best for last. I've come to tell somebody today, God has saved the best for you for last. For in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and handmaidens will I pour out of that day of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I'll show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord shall come. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I come to tell you today, just do what God's word tells you to do. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. If you're tired, come this morning. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, come this morning. Amen. If you're sick, the Bible says, if any among you sick, let them call for the elders of the church, not them call for you. I think we got it backwards. You wait for the pastor to call you. It says if you are sick, you call them. That's your faith in operation. Just do it. He says, if any of you are afflicted, let him pray. If you're distressed, pray. If you're married, start singing songs. God's ways are not your ways. So just do what he tells you to do. Let's stand this morning. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. I don't know how me forgiving somebody that wrongs me heals me. But God says, do it. So I do it. There's so many things in God's word that will never make us realize the why he does, the way he does. You got people that probably ask you questions all the time when you're teaching Bible studies about, well, why does God let this happen? Why does God do this and why does God do that? His ways are not our ways. Amen. But he has our best interests at heart. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, to give you an expected end. But do you know what? You'll never find out unless you do it. If you try to reason and figure it all out, you'll be standing there forever. But once you take a step, once you take a step of faith, you will see that God will do exactly what he said he will do. It may not come on your timeline, but scripture tell us, cast not away your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. He said, for yet in a little while, he that will come, and will not tarry. Now the just must live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. For we're not of them that draw back to perdition. We're them that believe to the saving of the soul. In 2 Kings, there's four lepers. They're sitting on the outside. There's famine in the land. The people in the city are starving. And those four lepers get together and they says, why are we going to sit here until we die? It says if we go into the city, we're going to die. But if we go to the Syrians, the only thing they can do is either fill us, feed us, or kill us. And when they made a decision to go to the Syrians, when they made a move, God made a move. Hear me. When they made a move, God made a move. I come to tell you, the next move is your move. If you're tired, God says, come. If you're weary, God says, come. If you're sick, God says, come. Amen. And let God work in your life this morning. Amen. Praise God. Just do it this morning. If you've never been baptized, just do it this morning. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, believe God for it this morning. Amen. Whatever you have need of this morning, let God have his way in your life this morning.